I think we are, I think we're down to number 20.01, which is the action item we discussed in executive session. And I think we're ready for a motion on that action item. Yes.
Regarding case number 2015-CV32135, I move to accept the proposed settlement agreement and direct the board chair to execute it on behalf of the board.
Discussion.
I need a second.
All right, a second. I'm sorry. Second.
I seconded.
Second. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we accept the proposed settlement agreement. Is there discussion of the proposed agreement? Seeing none, on this issue, I believe staff should call the roll.
Okay. Steve Durham?
Aye.
Dr. Flores?
Aye.
Jane Goff?
Aye.
Pam Masnak?
Aye.
Joyce Ring?
Aye.
Dr. Scheffel?
No.
Dr. Schroeder?
Aye.
The motion passes 6-1, and I'll execute that agreement when appropriate. Now I think we're on to our last undone item before public participation, which is an update on the Commissioner Search 2201. Who would like to give an update? All right, Ms. Goff, go right ahead.
Okay, to do it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For those of you who were able to follow our last update on the commissioner's search process on June 10th, just a quick reminder, that is posted in that month's board docs file, and summaries have been available on the State Board homepage and under the announcements section. So if you want to read past, you can check there. In the week since our last update on June 10th, the search subcommittee has completed several tasks. We have been kind of at this all summer, so catch you up today. The firm solicitation was reposted on June 15th, and by the new submission deadline of July 6th, we had had a total of 7 search firms that had submitted bids. The subcommittee met on July 16th to evaluate those bids and recommend one or more to the full state board for further consideration. And we did the evaluation process by using a point-based evaluation rubric, which we used in order to rate and rank order each firm based on the criteria that was put forth in the solicitation. This process resulted in a very clear separation between 3 high-scoring proposals and the 4 others that were submitted. Following further discussion, the subcommittee unanimously agreed that among the 3 highest-scoring firms, one firm in particular stood out based on additional details included in its proposal. We also agreed that this firm should be recommended for formal interview by the full board at a special meeting scheduled for August 5th, 1 week ago. The subcommittee also agreed to present 2 options to the rest of the board regarding their preferences for the interview portion of the special meeting. Option 1, to accept the subcommittee's unanimous consensus recommendation to interview the 1 search firm referenced above at the August 5th meeting, and during that meeting to move forward with next steps in planning for the commissioner search. Our option 2, invite all 3 of the top scoring firms for an interview on August 5th. Based on the full board's unanimous consensus in favor of option 1, the subcommittee then met again on July 21st to put forth the firm of Ray and Associates as the sole finalist and to make the necessary arrangements for the August 5th special meeting. At the meeting, the full board did interview Ray and Associates, and we voted to retain the firm of Ray and Associates to assist us with the full commissioner's search. The board and our Ray and Associates lead contacts who were present for the interview that day. Then we had time to begin some discussions on the timeline and other next steps in the commissioner's search process. As of today, is that we are in process of shaping up timeline and really starting the stakeholder outreach portion of the list of tasks that is part of this. So I believe that each board member has been contacted about the individual interview with the firm. I'm sure you will, Joyce, if you haven't yet. To start the identification of criteria, qualifications, characteristics, attributes of the new commissioner. And we have in our solicitation, which is also available on our page if you want to go back and read it at any time, some of the finer details about the stakeholder groups that we would like to discuss with Ray and Associates. Our preferences and some priorities for groups, types of contacts that we'd like to have involved in that input gathering process as well. So that will be, I'm going to take a little guess here, predict that that will be underway within the next few weeks anyway, so if not complete. So that's where we are at this moment. I would like to thank again here in our meeting Busy, particularly for her help and guidance and assistance and reliability and clear thinking, and Tony Dill as well as Trish Bohm, who's our procurement officer here at CDE, and others who Kelly is the Ray and Associates counterpart to Busy, pretty mm-hmm. much, and so you'll be hearing those names frequently. Through the rest of the summer, and to thank Val and Steve as well for making time for this process for us to meet and get together, make some decisions. So that's where we are today.
Any questions from any members? Let me add one comment, and I think this is going forward, this is probably our most significant task as a board, and a lot of it's going to, I think, involve extra time and extra meetings. And I know it's going to be difficult on everyone in terms of schedules. I would ask you all to be as flexible as possible. We'll try, when we have to schedule those extra meetings or extra times, we'll be as conscious as we can of everyone's schedule. But sooner or later, coordinating seven schedules of busy people is very difficult, and we'll have to try and work. Eventually, we're going to have to set a meeting and meet. So I would ask everybody to be as flexible as possible and recognize there's going to be a lot, I think a fairly significant extra workload in the next 3 months that's going to be put on all of us, and hopefully we can work effectively together on this point. I have one thing to do. The Rain Associates asked to designate a contact person, and I'm going to designate myself to be the contact person with for Rain Associates on this process. And I'm going to ask that that Elizabeth help me prepare a monthly report to the board on all of the contacts that take place. And so I'll have to remember, if they happen to call me and don't include you, I'll have to remember to give you a briefing or send you a memo or do something on the topic so we can get a full report in each month or however often we have to meet on the subject. So, okay? All right. Any questions, other questions? Yes.
Yeah, I think as long as we're on that topic, I'm curious as to what we as a board at this moment, even though Ray is not here, Ray and Associates aren't with us, and that is the issue or the question of recommendations that we receive as board members from the outside, I guess. If a name is suggested to us, as an individual, or if people inquire about what's the entry point for this process, what do we want to do about that now?
Well, I think when I was interviewed, they asked if I had any of those suggestions to make, and I've had several mm-hmm. people request that someone in the community be considered. I gave Rain Associates the names when I was interviewed, so. Okay. I would suggest if you have names, if people have been suggested to you and you feel it's worth passing those names along to Rain Associates, that you do so.
I was told by Paige to call back, so
I think we might as well give them all of the leads that we can, and so I gave them several, and I presume others have as well. All right, we're down, I think, now to public comment. Have we missed anything? We got it all, huh?
Unless you guys have any future business.
I'm sure we will.
Ever?
We'll come back to that after public comments, see if there's any future business. And then we will go back into executive session, and I don't think there are any action items left we have to do after executive session, so except probably to come back and adjourn, so yeah. That'll be it. Couple of people. All right. Anita Stapleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members, for your service and the opportunity to share my concerns. I am Anita Stapleton from Pueblo County. I am a concerned parent, engaged citizen, and frustrated taxpayer. Today, I have 287 signed letters of opposition to the Common Core and all of its mandates. This is the continued real voice of Colorado citizens as we push back on federal control. I also have 260 signatures to a 24-hour petition demonstrating support for Dr. Deb Shuffle to sit as chair of the State Board of Education. The petition's language spells out what the grassroots want in the leadership and all of the members of the State Board. Please read the petition to gain insight. This message actually can resonate across the street to the legislators. I want to add that we, the grassroots, anticipate working with all of the board members in a positive manner to develop real solutions to the problems Colorado faces in education. What we ask of this board and its leadership is to keep parents and taxpayers in the equation. We have a voice that has been ignored and silenced. We hold firm to the fact that parents have the authority over their children and should be encouraged to engage and direct the education of their child. That means bringing parental concerns to local school boards and even to the state board without ridicule or animosity. Taxpayers and voters have the civic duty and responsibility to be part of this equation as well. We are paying for Colorado's education system. The golden federal dollars are our hard-earned tax dollars. Education is an investment in our children, in the future of our state, and ultimately our country. We would further appreciate real dialogue with the board and participate in agenda items. Colorado can demonstrate to the nation that we take pride in our children's education. Party politics and political correctness must take a back seat, or in my opinion, get off the bus. Students cannot be viewed as mere dollar signs. Teachers need to be empowered to teach traditional education, where reading is priority. Vocabulary and writing skills are a must. This includes all districts placing spelling back into the curriculum and teaching real math that depends on correct answers. Coming from a district that has 13 turnaround schools and learning that spelling has been eliminated from fourth grade and math credits have been reduced for graduation, but thousands of special interest dollars have been accepted for innovation, tells me that D60 has missed the boat. Many other districts are doing the same. Districts need to be fiscally responsible and use their resources wisely. They don't have to sell out to special interest giants. Invite the parents and other volunteers back into the classroom. Allow teachers to use their professional training and creativity to recognize that every child is unique. They need their classroom time back to actually participate in great programs like the Spelling Bee program that we heard about today. That is what will turn around our failing schools. All schools need to be invested in and allowed to create their uniqueness. This creates choice. Public schools are the core of education and deserve to have a chance to offer a great education. Today, charters don't offer anything different. Parents are increasingly being shut out even there, except for a small amount of charters that have held on to traditional education. And in closing, I just need to say that the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind does not get states out of Common Core. It rebrands it. It gets us further into more federal control. This omnibus bill of over 1,600 pages and growing when it goes to conference committee absolutely will strip state sovereignty of their rights over education. So please join us in pushing back.
Thank you, Ms. Stapleton. Dr. Walker, did you have additional comments?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I think you really do believe in home rule. I read your letter in the op-ed piece and it's very good. I wish you were liberal rather than conservative, but I respect it.
So. One never knows.
Anyhow, as a person who consistently scored in the high 90s on graduate tests, med school application tests, IQ tests, and high genius range, I found your conversation about testing informing and therapeutic, and education may be the best form of psychotherapy there is. But I don't understand why, if you're willing to take on the feds, several board members who are perfectly qualified to serve as commissioners, and we need continuity, I don't quite know why you're backing down from the Attorney General's office. And Tony, you're a nice guy. I hope you're a friend. It's not personal. But I'm saying if you can stand up and say, we're going to make the decisions about education or be part of the decisions when it comes to what the feds tell us to do, you certainly can be independent enough. If you really feel that you're qualified to be a commissioner and you're a member of the board, go ahead and do it. Take on the Attorney General, and there might be someone in your district who will file a class action law school, because we did vote for you to put you in, and we do respect you, and we do look to you for leadership. So be willing to fight the Attorney General just as well as the federal government. I think it's inconsistent to fight one and not the other. And thanks for fighting the Attorney General on this issue of people, parents, saying, I don't want my kids to take those tests, because at this point, at 80 years old, I've still got some fight in me. And there's several things. I wouldn't allow my children to take some of these exams and say at the same time, I'm Anglo, Black, Jewish, and Native American. Because in this day and age, there's nothing that's confidential. When I was doing research, there was confidentiality, but now there is nothing that's confidential. And we all know it if we read the paper and inform the number of hackings that take place. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Okay, I'm going to recess the general board meeting.
May I just make a comment?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to thank the parents and the grassroots for their engagement and for submitting those letters. I think this is a great call to action for the board, for more input from the public, and not so many predetermined advisory committees comprised of one of these and two of those, but grassroots parents and people whose children are the consumers of education in our state. And I think this board looks forward to a close relationship with parents and grassroots, such as the individuals that submitted those letters. So I just want to thank them for their support and for the support of this board, and we look forward to a close relationship and for great work this year. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Sheffel. So we'll recess this meeting and reconvene the executive session. And then when we come back, I think all we will do is adjourn. I believe probably procedurally that'd be the appropriate way to do it. So I don't think we have any votes that should be required coming out of executive session. So I think it's going to be adjournment only. So this meeting's recessed, and we'll reconvene the executive session. So those that are eligible to stay in the room, please do. Executive session, and we'll reconvene the regular board meeting. Anybody want to talk about future business? That was a little...
So it is 4:36 on August 12th, and we are back on the regular board meeting record.
Okay. So anybody want to talk about future business? Yes. Pam?
I just had two issues that I wasn't sure where they were. One is the startup grant for Tri-City. I think we talked about that. But, I tried to read the statute, what it says, charter school, a lot of federal requirements for grants. I know Tri-City, if they have to resubmit that grant, it'd be their third time doing it. And I know that it's a lot of work. And I just feel like if we have policies at CDE that we can change to encourage schools that receive the grant competitively, but their start date is extended, as opposed to having them rewrite the grant, which is competitive every time they submit it, meaning they may not get it on the third shot. I guess I'd like to know why we're not accommodating these charters, these charter applicants. So that's one issue. Maybe you could address that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are preparing a memo for you laying out those issues. The biggest one we have is that we've established this date of April 1st by which schools need to be declared a charter school, have approval of their authorizer. It's essentially what the federal grant asks. We put that place, put that deadline on April 1st ourselves. We could move it other places if we wanted. The reason we put it there is because they have to spend their, if they get the grant before that time, they have to spend their money by the end of June, and it makes it difficult. And if they don't spend it, they have to give that money back and they forfeit it. So what we've been doing with every other charter application is if they didn't make it, we ask them to resubmit the grant. Now, I don't think they have to redo the whole thing, but there's also some issues with the federal government and some exceptions that have occurred in the past. So we're very concerned about how much we're being observed by USDOE and whether or not we're risking those charter funds. So that's the reason we've asked people to reapply, because we think we're under some scrutiny. And the memo I'm going to send you will lay that out in more detail. And then I'd encourage you to take a look at it. And if you still have the same feelings, we can come back and talk some more.
I guess my thought would be, is there a way to, I mean, obviously we have to meet the federal requirements.
Sure.
And then we have to encourage these schools, because they've already received these funds. But for various reasons, their startup is delayed. So to make it less burdensome on them than have them rewrite the whole grant and yet compete yet again for a third time for those funds. So it seems to me, as I looked at the language in the federal statute with respect to the funds and then the policies at CDE, it seemed like a disconnect, and that there would be a way to achieve both and not make them rewrite the whole grant, not make them compete for the funds yet a third time while still fulfilling the intent of the federal requirements. And I feel like right now we're putting a burden on them that is unnecessary. And I know there is some burden when their start date's delayed, but it doesn't seem like the current policy is necessary. So you're going to put that together.
I'll put that together and see. And we'll take a close look at it. We'll take a close look at it. And if that memo still raises the issues for you, we'll be happy to talk more and see what else we can do.
Right. And so, I mean, the schools are wondering about it. Have they been in touch with you? I mean, are there other schools in this situation?
There have been other schools on past years in this situation where we've said you didn't have it's a federal definition of charter school, as you know. It's basically you have approval from your authorizer. You've been given a charter.
Yeah.
And all other schools that I know of have been in the same position where we've denied them if they haven't had, even if we've pre-approved them. We've asked them to resubmit the grant, but I'll also do some checking about how much we've asked them to actually redo the grant.
That would be helpful, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Because it's a multiple page document. It's fairly extensive.
It's extensive.
It's a lot of work, yeah. Okay. But I had one more.
You had two issues? Go ahead.
So the other question is about the classical, is it the Jeffco School? Derek Schuler, Golden View Classical Academy. Request for the waiver for exclusion of materials from libraries. I don't know. I tried to read the email string between the school and CDE and try to figure out what the issues were. I guess I don't know. All I know is they're concerned about something, and I wondered if we could, if I could follow up with you.
I'd be happy to follow up. I haven't seen this email, but if you'll pass it along to me, we'll follow up and get back.
That'd be great. Thank you. They're just right in my backyard. So
okay.
There's a lot of waivers.
Around
that school that have been questions around waivers haven't been answered.
Yeah, so I'd love to get clarity on it.
Okay.
Maybe we could talk through it.
Anybody else have anything on future board? I have a couple of things. One is I expect sometime in the near future at least a request to put a review of the rulemaking and perhaps enter into new rulemaking on school readiness. And it appears our school readiness rules far exceed that which would be minimally required and may impose some burdens on districts. And also, I'm going to ask Tony to distribute to you a proposal I have on gifts, grants, and donations, which will be controversial. You should all review it in advance. Probably put it on, presuming we have time, for the discussion at the next board meeting, and depending on how that fares in for action only, the meeting following that.
Mr. Chair, I actually have a draft policy I could distribute to the board now if you want.
Okay, so yeah, whenever it's convenient for the board to get it, because presuming we have time for it, it'll be on the agenda for the next meeting. It'll be controversial. Okay. And I think that's it. That's all I
have. Actually, I had.
You have one?
Well, I just kind of would like to repeat what I said earlier today, that I would be grateful for staff to be really careful in their presentations, to get away from the acronyms, to recognize that examples are very, very helpful when they're describing things, and just sort of to keep it at a place if you were explaining it to a parent as opposed to explaining it to the folks who are in the room. Because, you know, it's a problem that every profession has. When I was in tax, we talked in code sections, and I can't figure out why we did that, but we did, you know, and it was such and such. It's just natural, but I think particularly for us where we're having concerns whether our citizens really understand what it is that we do as state board members, it would be really helpful if we brought it to that kind of a level when that works. I wish the feds did that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Excuse me.
You know what else you could do? You could make us a cheat sheet.
Yeah. Well,
I can have acronyms.
Yeah, Jane and I have a game that we can play.
Yeah. We do.
But I wanted to speak about having a retreat. And I think a retreat, I know that people have said, well, we need a commissioner on board. But we're going into a session in January where the legislature is going to meet. And I'd like us to have in place an idea of what we would like to accomplish during the next year and what we would like them to help us with. And I know you did this, and I read it. It was everybody had written what they wanted to do, and it was all separate. I mean, it was not coherent altogether. And I think we need even a short retreat where we can speak. We have a new member, and I think that she might have questions.
No,
she has it all figured out.
I have questions.
We should ask
I've
her.
I've been here for 7 months or so. And I,
Val,
you know,
let me get with Elliot and review the budget and timelines and just see how possible it is. And if it's possible, we'll try and do something. So I'll try and do that probably next week. Maybe we can meet for a short period of time.
I'd be happy to do that.
And we'll talk about that. And then, okay. Of course, the other factor is, can we find a date that fits everybody's schedule? Which is
given what you just said about the commish search.
A weekend.
We all have.
Busy didn't seem to want to give up her weekend.
Busy.
I caught that look. Okay. Anything else come before the good of the order? Okay. We'll stand adjourned until 9 a.m. Wednesday, September 9th. Ninth? No, adjourn. We're going to adjourn.
Oh.
We're adjourned.
That's
we do it a little different. Wednesday, is it the 9th? Help me. Perfect.
I think so.